Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
For this day, as I was preparing for this week's message, or this month's message for me, I was just really sitting still, man, and trying to hear from God. But sometimes we have things in our life called distractions. Somebody say distractions. All right. Now, it doesn't matter what it is. There's something that always comes to distract us from getting into the presence of God, right? It could be, I just been praying for 15, 30 minutes, and I'm like, okay, God, what do you want to say? And this happened yesterday. And where's Daddy? And I'm like, oh, man, my kids might wake up. You know what I'm saying? Your phone, now I can't. I used to pray with my phone. I had my list on my phone, but I don't even try to do the list anymore, because somebody's going to hit me up. They're going to call me. So I'm like, man. But we have to defeat those distractions. And today's message, I think, is going to help us defeat those distractions. And it is called, Is My Priority God? Ask yourself, is my priority? Come on, say it like you mean it. God. Or is God my priority? Some of you was reading it up there and it was like, that's not what it says. Is God my priority? Now, what is a priority in our life? First, okay, what you think? Food. So food is a priority in your life, right? Okay, so you guys are jumping. I said, what is priority? Not what is it in your life. Priority is something that comes first. The actual definition said the quality or state of being prior, precedence in date or position of publication. Superiority in rank, position, or privilege, which means first, as she was saying. Legal precedence and exercise of rights over the same subject matter. Number two is a preferential rating, especially one that allocates rights to goods and services, usually in limited supply. And three, something given or meriting attention before competing alternatives. Now, when we look at that, was a couple of them that we want to look at. Now, how many of us know we have to prioritize because we can't do everything at the same time, right? Now, there are some things in our lives that we prioritize. What things do we prioritize in life? You said food. You said family. What's some other things that we prioritize in life? Mom, what do you prioritize in life? Practice. Yes, my mom is heavy on practice. Practice. Priority. What's some other priorities? Come on, name some. Work. Church. Prayer. Come on. Give me some priorities, man. What does your life consist of? It might be video games. Words with friends. Priority. These things. What is it? So since these things are priorities, it could be boyfriends or girlfriends. It could be wife, husband. If your wife is not a priority, husbands, you're going to be in trouble, right? You're going to have a problem on your hands. It's same way with the wives. If the wives, your husband is not a priority, you're not going to have a healthy relationship. Our kids have to be priority for us to raise them up the way that we should. But what does it look like, or what do we do to things that we prioritize? All those things, how do we make sure we get those done? We put them ahead of other things, right? Some people might want to say, hey, man, I got this going on. And sometimes we have to say, wait, let me pull out my schedule and see if this works. Oh, I got the kid's doctor's appointment. I can't go do it. Why? Because that is a priority, right? Now, it would be funner to go play basketball while they're supposed to get their shots, right? But that's not a priority. So sometimes we have to drop things in order for us to have priorities in our lives. Things, something has to be dropped or something has to be lowered down so that we can, so that the other things can have priority in our life. Amen. So we clear our schedules for those types of things. We also, our minds are consumed with our priorities, correct? Your mind does not stop thinking about the things that you prioritize in life. We're so concerned with it. It's like, oh, man, people said job. Now, some people, when they're not at their job, they're thinking about their job, right? You're thinking about your job. When you're not at, you're doing music, you're still thinking about music. You prioritize these things. So we make time for them. We put them in our minds. They're consumed. But I want to ask this question. Is God our priority in life? Now, I'm going to just be real. When he's not your priority, what begins to happen is you begin to miss prayer time, right? You begin to miss prayer time, or you might pray, and this is what happens to me sometimes. I pray, I get everything off my chest because, man, like my mom said in one of those things, sometimes you just be mad at God, like, God, how come it ain't working like I thought it was going to work? But then, that does you no good. We went to a revival last week, and one of the things the pastor said is, God is not a outlet person where you just let out all your frustrations. You know what I'm saying? We don't pray to God like, dang, God, you messed this up. What's up, man? How come it can't? That's not really going to get you anywhere with God. Why? Because you're not coming to him with respect. And what happens is, the priorities switch. We become the priority in our relationship with God. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we look, we still are praying. We still read our word, but it's, what can I get out of this thing right here? How can you move in my life? How come you're not moving in my life? Because we've become priority. And I will say this man, I'm tingling. God is saying sometimes, or most of the time, the thing that needs to be moved is us. We're in the way. Somebody told me that one time. He was like, Marquise, you're in the way. And I was like, what are you talking about? But anyway, he said, you're in the way because you're thinking too hard. And I was like, wow. But some of us are in the way because we're thinking too hard with our walk with God. We're thinking too hard about how faith is supposed to work instead of trusting God that faith will work. We're going to places in our relationships with God where he is no longer a priority, and we have to change that. I'm going to say this. Now, some people look at this word and they're like, oh, no. But we've become modern day idols in our life. Right? Now, listen. Today, it's rare that Christians or people that go to church, people that were raised in church, go to a statue and start bowing down and praising an idol, right? You hardly ever see that unless it's in other religions. But it's a heart condition. What is an idol? An idol is something that we're consumed with. When you think about those idols in the Bible, which I'm going to get to, let's go turn to Exodus 20, verse 1. We're going to go there and read through 6. But idols were something that really were nothing, right? But these people made a big deal over these idols. And these idols, they would check with the idol first to say, can I go do this? And what did the idol say? It said, it talked just like this. Right? You didn't hear nothing from the idol. But there was a spirit behind that idol that had them under control. It was a spirit that they prioritized over even themselves. So there was people that would kill their kids for these idols. There was people that would do sexual acts, all kind of sexual acts. They were consumed with making that idol priority in our life. And we now have modern day idols in our life that we consume ourselves with instead of consuming ourselves with God. Let's go. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And I'll go ahead and pull it up as well. And when you got it, you can say word. Is that the... I'll just read off the... And God spake all these words, saying, I am Jehovah, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Somebody say, you shall. Now, this means God is a what? Priority. When you look at that, God is the only God that we should have. Now, like I said, we're not walking around saying, I praise my job. Thank job. Thank the job. I love my job. We don't go around doing stuff like that. We don't go to our employer and like, hey, employer. Oh, man, great employer. Thank you for that raise. We don't do stuff like that. We might say thank you. You know what I'm saying? But our jobs have become priority in our life. Let's see what the next verse says. You shall not, and I'm translating some of this old English. You shall not make unto you a graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. We're going to go to verse 6. Keep going. You shall not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commands. That's 6. All right, so when we look at that scripture, what happens is when we create modern idols, somebody say modern idols, when we create those, we are now worshiping these things. Okay? When God is not a priority in our life, you are worshiping something else. And it could be money. Now, how many of us want more money? Obviously, we all do. Who would love a new car? Yes, we all would. Who would love a new house? I ain't gonna go there. But you would love a new house. You would love all these things. But when they consume our mind, when it's like, everything you do is like, man, I can't wait till I get that new car. Dang, I can't wait. What happens is that's an idol. I said in a song that's not out yet, I said, we idolize anything in life we can't wait for. Anything is just like, I just can't wait to get that thing. It becomes an idol in our life. And then when you get it, it's not even going to be that good. You know, you're like, okay, cool, it's all right. But these are modern day idols that happen in our life. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1 through 12, and let's look at some of the idols that are in our life. And I'm just going to read it off of the New King James Version. Ezekiel 14, 1 through 12. Then certain of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. I'm sorry, that's the wrong version. All right, there we go. Now some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts. Now we see right here, they are no longer setting up idols. And as images, where did they set this idol up at? Come on, say it. So even while there was idols still in the biblical days, in the days of this scripture, some people erected idols in their hearts. So what happens with these idols? Let's look. And put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of all by them? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, every one of the house of Israel who set up his idols in his heart and puts them before him, what causes him to stumble into iniquity and then comes to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him who comes according to the multitude of his idols, that I may seize the house of Israel by the heart, because they are all estranged from me by their idols. So basically what happens is when you're consumed with things in life, which we would call idols at this moment, which are in your heart, what happens is God said, I don't want to have anything to do with them. Right? Now, some of us wonder why we can't hear God answer our prayers. It's because we're too consumed with the priorities of our life to hear God. And I've been there like, dang, come on, God, talk to me. This week I was like, God, I've been praying every day, God, how come I can't hear you? And I said that to God. I said, why can't I hear you? He said, I'm not a priority. And I was like, wow. And when he said that, I knew I had to talk. That's why the title was, Is God My Priority? Why? Because he had to tell me I need to prioritize him. And like I said, we can go through the rituals. We can read the word. We can pray. Man, you hear God speak. But when he's not a priority, when you can go days and pray and not even really want to hear God, it's just like, let me get what I got off my chest. And it might not even be bad stuff. You could be praying for everybody else. But if you're not listening to God, it does you no good. The things we prioritize in life, we wait for. Right? Man, I got games recording at the house. I'm waiting to get home and watch those. It's the playoffs, y'all. NBA playoffs. But if I can't take time to spend with God before I do that, or even after I do that, whenever, if he is not a priority and I'm consumed with that, that becomes an idol in my life. Prior to doing this message, I went home. Thank God the kids and the wife were gone. And I just spent time with God, talking with God. Said, God, man, I appreciate you. And sometimes we go through those spurts. How many of us have seen the spurts? We get, hallelujah. I'm feeling good this week. I could pray down a demon and the walls of wherever I live. Right? Then the next week, it's like, oh, Lord, man, it's so hard. Why? Because we put God, we get those glimpses because for a while we gave God priority. Right? We said, God, I'm going to make sure I get up at this time. And I'm going to just say this. I'm not a morning person, but I get up to pray in the morning. And sometimes I'm like, God, why in the morning? But just because you need quiet, right? Man, it's hard to pray when your kids are acting up. It's hard to pray when your kids are being good. You got to keep an eye on them. But your focus is not all the way in prayer. That's why you have to, the Bible even talks about go away to the secret room or the closet room and pray. Now, we don't have to go in a closet, but it's saying shut everything else out and make God a priority. Let me see. Verse 6 says, therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent. Turn away from your idols. Somebody say, turn away. And turn your faces away from all your abominations. Now, I will say this. Idols, having idols in our life is sin. But also, when you have an idol that you continue to allow to be your idol in your life, it's the source of your sin. It's now this is, it gets bigger. That basically we see it said, get rid of your abominations. Now, abominations are what? They're sins like on a, man, I hate to say that, but it's a, an abomination is not just a sin, right? Abomination is like worse than sin. Do we see that? Why would he say that? Because in the Bible, it talks about abominations. Abominations doesn't mean that you cannot be forgiven, though. I'm not going to say that. But that's lifestyles that people have created, right? It's something that now is a stronghold in your life, and you cannot get away from it. That's what abominations are. And it takes a lot more prayer to get out of that. But it says, for anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell in Israel, who separates himself from me and sets up his idols in his heart and puts before him what causes him to stumble into iniquity, then come to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I will set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet is induced to speak anything, I, the Lord, have induced that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand against him and destroy him from among my people Israel. And they shall bear the iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be the same as the punishment of the one who inquired, that the house of Israel may no longer stray from me, nor be profaned anymore with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, says the Lord God. Now, this is what I'm going to say about prioritizing God at the top. God has to be the top, because when he's not at the top, the Bible says he's a jealous God. Right? God is a jealous God. Just like spouses. When you're not spending time with your spouse, husband or wife, either one or the other, they get jealous, right? God is the same way. God wants a relationship with us. Matter of fact, God wants a relationship so much that he sent his only son to die for our sins so we can have a relationship with God. Adam and Eve, they had a relationship with God, right? It said they walked with God in the cool of the day. At that time, God was their priority. Let's just say in the middle of the day, guess what Adam and Eve was doing? Hey, God, how you doing, God? Hey, God, that was pretty cool, man. I seen how you made that tiger. That tiger, man, I like that. Hey, God, you know what? I love you, God. They did this in the cool of the day. Back in the day, it was cool, too. But something happened when Eve decided to eat this apple. She prioritized her own mind higher than God's mind. She said, God, you know what? God don't know really what he's talking about. Or, man, God, that looks good. Let me put things in my own hands. See, that's what gets us in trouble. Putting things in our own hands. Prioritizing ourselves more than God. Say, I will not put myself above God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:29. Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. And it says this, but from there you will seek the Lord with your, from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you seek God with all your heart, it said right there, this is, When it says only if you seek God with your heart and all of your soul. Some of us seek God with half a heart, right? We get to a place where God, hey, hey, God, man, I would really love for you to talk, but if you don't have time for me, that's okay. I understand. We got plans anyway. You know, dinner at 5 o'clock at my blah, blah, blah's house, right? We get to a place where we are not seeking God with all of our heart because he's not a priority. And I'm not preaching this message to punch you in the face. This is to me as well. We have to make God priority in our life. When he's not priority, we see a lot of things change in our life. And then part of it is because we are no longer seeking his will, we're seeking my will. So ask yourself, am I seeking my will or his will? Am I seeking my will or his will? How do we know? Anybody have any ideas how we can find out if we're seeking God's will or our will? Impatience. That's a good one. Why? Because if it's taking too long, I'm going to put, you know, we hear superheroes say, I'm going to put it in my hands. Let me take over, right? That's really what a superhero is. A superhero is somebody that takes things that are out of control and they put it in their hands and they control it, right? So even with movies that we watch with superheroes, we're like, it would be cool if I can walk up the wall like Spider-Man, right? Or if I could fly. How many of you have said things like that? If I could fly like Superman, man, life would be great, right? But God is that superhero. He's done stuff like that. God has flown. If we are patient, we will fly too. R. Kelly was right. We will fly. But we have to wait. And sometimes that waiting, and that's why that song, Waiting on You, it was really ministering to me last week. And I kept hearing that all week. Wait on God. Waiting on you. I kept hearing that. Waiting on you, patiently waiting on you. But, and then it said, I'm not worried about the time. Because, Lord, I seem to find strength while I'm waiting on you. Not only waiting on God gives you strength. It says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings like eagles. So it's not even the word that God gives you sometimes. It's just waiting on God. When we make God priority and we still looking at, okay, well, you know what? You start stressing out, right? Because it's out of, how many of us know it's out of our control anyway? Your life is not promised to you. Tomorrow's not promised to you. Nothing in life is, you have choices, but God is ultimately in control, right? You cannot make yourself do, you cannot go from here and say, I know in the next 30 minutes I'm going to be over there. Because we're not in control of that. The world can end in 2 seconds. But we are still here. God is in control. So when we wait upon the Lord, we shall renew our strength. Another way we can know if it's God's will or not is who is trying to seek the glory. Are we trying to seek the glory? As my dad said, how do we know it's an angel from the Lord? If that angel is seeking praise, it's not from God. If things in our life are seeking praise, it's not from God. But if we can wait upon God, we shall renew our strength. I was talking to Precious or Chamian, somebody, about people that can't wait to get into relationships, right? Can't wait to get a boyfriend. Can't wait to get a girlfriend. What happens is that's not God, because you're not waiting on him. You have to wait on God. You have to wait on God, because when you don't, guess what? You're always looking every corner.
oh, she might be the one. Or he might, right? Am I right about it? Dang, does she pray in tongues? Oh, she does. Just because somebody pray in tongues don't mean they, hey. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people that can pray in tongues, but they can curse with that same tongue, right? We're so busy trying to figure things out, but we don't prioritize God and wait on God. We don't do that. Is God a priority in our life? Quality time with God is a part of making him priority. Anything we give quality time to is a priority. If you go on a date, and I keep using husband and wives, boyfriend and girlfriends, if you go on a date and it's not quality time, right? Matter of fact, my wife is good for this. If we watch a movie with the kids, sometimes she'll be like, we didn't really watch a movie though, right? And I'm like, what are you talking about? We just watched a movie, but sometimes she wants quality time, right? And I don't, at first I was like, what is wrong with this woman? We sitting watching a movie, but she'd be asleep. So I'm like, that's not quality time, right? And she's good for sleep. She's a sleeper. But we have to make God a priority and spend quality time with God. If I'm always on the cell phone or texting, that's what it was. I was doing a lot of phone texting, talking to my buddies. Hey, did you see the game yesterday? Da, da, da. Yeah, that game was tight. And she's like, you're not spending quality time with me. And, you know, it's easy to keep texting people, right? It's even easy to text while we pray. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, you're so great. We could text like that, right? And some of us do that. I'm not the only one that does that, right? Or even when it's time to worship. We're not prioritizing our worship time. So what are we doing? On the phone text. Jason Earls had a little comedy thing that he did, man, and he was, you know, acting how people praise. They praising God 1 second, and then they hear the, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God, I bless you. Who is this? Hallelujah, Jesus. And, hey, I'm getting my praise on right now. What happens is it's no longer a priority. We're too easily distracted. Amen? As I said earlier, we have to defeat these distractions. And sometimes we have to remove ourselves from these things. Now, at the movies, let's just think about this. At the movies, they tell you to turn your phone off. And some of us don't do it, right? But why do they tell you to do that? So you're not distracted from the movie. Or you don't distract other people. How come we don't do that at church? Right? Is your cell phone, and sometimes our cell phone is a priority, is our cell phone so God to us that we can't turn it off? Is our Twitter updates, our Facebook updates so much of a God to us that we can't live without them? We prioritize that stuff. What did this person post on my Facebook? Let me look. Let me look. Who is it? Oh, it is. Oh, I like that. That's all they said. And you're like, oh, man, I went to all that. Why? Because we prioritize our Facebook. We make time for Facebook, right? We make time to tweet. We make time to whatever the social network. Instagram is a new thing. We make time to take pictures and see what people commented on that picture. Oh, that was nice. But we can't turn our phone off to worship God. We can't. Why? Because these things have become idols in our life, modern day idols. And we have to defeat these distractions. I interviewed somebody today on BK Presents. I'm the producer for that radio show. And there was a Bishop Chris Milton. He said this: if I don't give God what he wants from me, and if I'm running from my purpose, then why should I expect God to answer me? I'm going to say it again. If I don't give God what he wants from me, which is my time, and if I'm running from the purpose or my purpose, then why should I expect God to answer me when I need him at that time? We can't. See, God is, we cannot punk God, right? We can't pimp God. But some of us think we can. Hey, God says, hey, go minister to that person. Hey, God, man, come on, man. You know, I ain't got time for that. You know, it's not on my priority list. But, hey, God, hey, if you can answer my prayer, man, my grandma, she's in need of, like, God is like, hold up, I just told you to do something. If you don't give to God, you're not going to get nothing from God. And some of us is like, that's a little harsh, but that's in the word of God. Let's go look at what God says about that. 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Now, some of these are a lot of scriptures that you hear pastors preach on when it comes to offering time. But how many of us know that sowing is not only offerings? Okay? It's not only offering. It's not only offering. What did I say? 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. And we're going to look at this sowing. And it says this. But I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Now, sparingly means barely sows, right? It's a little bit. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, when we read this, if we don't sow in our prayer life, or if we sow a little bit, we're going to reap a little bit. Why? Because God, he's going to require something from you. He requires something from you. That's the word of God. Let me go ahead into another scripture. Galatians 6:6-10. Right around the corner. Galatians 6:6-10. It says this. Let him who was taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Now let's look at this real quick. Some of us sow in our flesh. We're sowing to our flesh. We're constantly giving to our flesh. I need this, God. Hallelujah, God. If I can get a new car. Ooh, God. Man, I'm shouting now because he gave me a new car. Hallelujah, God. If you could. We're not even worried about the spiritual things. It's all material. So where we're sowing to our what? Flesh. Now, this does not mean you can't ask God for this stuff. But if it consumes you, and your relationship with God, where it's just like, God, I need you, God, because I need some more money, God. God, I need some. Lord, if you could just give me some more money. You're sowing to your flesh. You're no longer sowing to your spirit. Your prayer should be, not my will, God, but your will, God. Even if I have to take a pay cut, God, for you. Now, somebody's like, wait, that's not of God. Sometimes you might have to. Now, I say this, our job is a priority that God understands that we need, right? We don't call up and say, I'm not coming in today because I'm about to spend the whole day in prayer. Click. If you do that, you'll get fired, right? I guarantee it, especially if it's not a Christian job. But you got vacation time. Sometimes take a vacation with God. I guarantee it's better than Hawaii, better than Bahamas. You're going to be refreshed. But God is not that big of a priority. God, I've been working all year for these vacation hours. Man, spend time with God. God should be that vacation priority that we have. That should be our priority. But it says, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. But it should be our priority to spend time with God. And this is a message that is going to force us, after we hear this, we're going to be accountable for this, right? We can no longer say, hey, man, God, you know, you're cool, man, but I got some stuff to do. Sometimes we have to change our schedules around for God. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I ran into another pastor on the way here while I was at Fred Meyer, and he was like, what you preaching on, son? And I was like, man, I'm going to preach on, is God our priority? He was like, you got to go to Matthew chapter 6, huh? And I was like, yeah, man, I didn't want to go there because I use that sometimes, occasionally, but I was like, I had to go there. And pastors know what you're going to preach on when you say the title, you know what I'm saying? But some of this is very important still. Priorities in our life, let's look at that. Matthew 6, starting at verse 19. This is the last scripture that I'm going to read. And this is what Jesus told the people. That's why it's in red. Wealth. Now, we chase wealth a lot. Matter of fact, what do? We watch what the wealthiest people got. We look at what they have, and we're like envying. Ooh, if I had that house. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. We'd be like, man, hey, man, if I just had that. Look at what the Bible says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now look at this. Is the scripture telling us not to have good things right there? No. It says don't make them your treasure. All right? Another word for treasure is God. Let's not make them our God. Because it says where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what happens is, after a while, that becomes your God. Now, I have a nice car, praise God. I see other people that have nice cars, and the way they drive, it's like, oh, man, this is my treasure. You know what I'm saying? They looking at you, what's up? What's up? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all about how they look when they get next to the, you know what I'm saying? They might strike a little pose when they trying to make sure their window is clean when it's just got washed. You know, they trying to be seen, right? Because that's their treasure. That's their treasure. But as a Christian, we can have nice things, but it's not my treasure. Now, I like my car. But I know my car is not, I can't drive all the way to heaven. There's no highway high enough. There's no road to glory except the one by faith. Matter of fact, ain't nobody had a whip like Elijah. He had the chariot of fire. Nobody had that. And he's still probably riding off somewhere because he's still alive. He's coming back one day. But what we look at is, I can have, and I always say this, I can have nice things, but those nice things cannot have me. if I get even a better car, it's not going to be, oh, man, this is my prized possession. I'm not going to be kissing my car. I'm going to have kids in my car, so they probably going to, it did look good one time, but even in my back seat, kid, they got milk stains. I can't get them out. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, it can't be our treasure. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Let me skip to verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is what we got to get to make God our priority. Therefore, I say to you, each one of you, do not worry about your life. Somebody say, do not worry. Now, does this mean that we don't pay bills and be like, I ain't going to worry about that? Is that what that's saying? No, we still got to pay bills. That's a part of our responsibility. But worrying is when you're at a time in life and you're like, man, I don't know how this bill is going to get paid. And you just consume with that all day. You at the job. The boss is talking to you. How am I going to pay this bill, man? Oh, I didn't even catch what you said. What'd you say, sir? Right? That happens because we can't even hear other people talk to us. And if we can't hear somebody verbally talk to us, guess what? You're not going to hear God talking to you. Because it takes a little bit different kind of concentration to hear God. Now, there is sometimes God might even send a word to you. And I've seen people where God is just constantly sending a word to them and they didn't hear it. Right? Or they heard it with their ears, but it didn't touch down. We threw the pass and they dropped it in the end zone. You know, it was just like, man, it was the perfect pass. It was the perfect word for your situation, but you didn't hear it. Why? Because you're so worried about life. It said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, for what will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Is life not more than our cars? Is life not more than our house? Is life not more than our mortgage payments? Is life not more than our whatever else payments? Is life not more? Is it more than our credit card bills? Is it more than our credit card? There's more to life than things that we buy. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then Jesus asked this as a rhetorical question. Are you not of more value than they? Are we more value than the birds? Now we are. Now I know in today's society, we have some animals that are... Sometimes people make animals seem worth more than what they are. Matter of fact, I'm going to share this quick story. In our condo complexes, there's some birds that are extinct or near extinction that are nesting in the building, and people cannot do anything to them. Because if you harm them, almost try to harm them, you get a lawsuit. Right? Now, I'll tell you this, if somebody's breaking into your house, all you got to do is call the police and they're going to get them out. But in this case, these birds, they robbing. They stealing. But hey, we are worth more than the animals. But it says this, verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Can any of us get taller by worrying? We can get fatter, right? Worry, but not taller. So why do we worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into oven, will he not much more clothe you? Will he not much more clothe you? Will God take care of us? And it says, oh, you of little faith, for not thinking that God can't take care of us. And sometimes we got to remind us what the, see, this is the thing about renewing of the mind. We need to constantly renew our mind because we live in a world that they are telling us, man, this Bible thing don't work, right? And it's a constant battle with us. It's a constant battle because sometimes we don't see what God is doing. But God said, am I not good enough to take care of you? Are you going to worry about it? Like, what good does that do? He said, oh, you of little faith. And then he instructs us. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? No longer let these things have priority in your life. Don't let it have priority in our life. For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. So the, most of the stuff that we, when it says Gentiles in that scripture, those are the people that are not Christians at that time. Okay? They are worried about what am I going to do? How many of us know people that are not living for God? They are consumed with worry. Millionaires that just got buku money, that means money just everywhere, right? They worried about stuff like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need to figure out how I can make more money, because if I don't make more money, I just don't feel good. I need at least $3 billion in the bank account. I mean, the numbers never stop going up, right? How many of us, we like, man, if I had $100 when we were kids, man, that would be great if I had $100, right? I found $100 in my room one time. We cleaned up the room. It was under the bed, and I was like, woo! Now I get $1,000. I'm like, okay, I need $10,000. Now I've had $20,000 in my account before. And I was like, man, I thought that was, man, that's not a lot. After bills get going, you'd be like, dang, I had $20,000 won't last us a year. If you look at your tax income statement, you make more than $20,000 most of the time, right? But that number never stops. And if we're worried about, man, I just need more money, if I could just get more, guess what? That becomes an idol. Is God our priority? And this is how we can tell. For your, verse 32 says, for all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God knows what Precious, what Hannah, what Smiley, Daryl, I'm sorry I always say his name like that, but Daryl, what Annis, what Harold, what Marquise, Markayla, what Mr. Franklin needs, he knows what you need. You live streamers, he knows what you need. So sometimes when we're praying, it can't be always, God, I need this, man. Sometimes we just got to look at God and say, God, you're great. I'm not even worried about what I need, God. Why? Because we're so concerned with our needs. And God said, I already know what you need. But seek first the kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That means you're going to have enough trouble in the day that you're living in today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And, you know, sometimes my wife might say some things about, what are we going to eat tomorrow or something like that. And I'm like, I always say this, right? Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow can worry about itself. Which is an easy answer to give when you, you don't know what's going to happen. But then God always does something. Listen, there's never been a day where that I didn't have food in my house, even if I didn't have money. Somebody might say, we want to come drop some food. But you have to trust God. God has to be priority in our life. Amen. Where is God on our to-do list? Ask yourself, where is God? Come on, where is God on my to-do list? is he behind some things? Do we got to get some other things in the way? And something that I like about my wife, man, her heart is a really great. She has a great heart. The other day, about a couple weeks ago, we were just sitting in the living room, and she just started crying, right? You know, now my wife, when she's crying, there's something going on. And, you know, as a husband, I'm like, babe, what's wrong with you? She was like, man, I just need to go spend time with God. You know what I'm saying? She was like, I've been consumed with too many things. I need to really go spend time with God. And then I was like, babe, well, go in the room and go pray. And she came out and she was just, oh, I'm feeling good. Woo! You know how precious it is. But her heart was touched to make God her priority. And when I saw that, I didn't be like, well, I better go pray right now. But that touches my heart when I see my wife wants to make God her priority. And I'm going to ask you, what's your heart? As we close, what is your heart? Because God knows our heart. Is it to want to make God our priority in life, or is it still being consumed with our own self? Let us go ahead and stand up, and we're going to close. But I'm just going to say this before you stop it. I feel like every one of us can raise our hand and say, I want to make God our priority, or make him a higher priority, because there's always things in our life that comes along. But what are we going to do different now? That's the question that I'm asking you. When you leave today, what are you going to do different to show that God is your priority in life? Okay? Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for this word. Dear God, that not only you spoke to me, dear God, but you're speaking to the people, and your word is going to continually go forth and move and touch people's lives, oh God. We want to make you priority in our life, oh God. We desire for you to be lifted up, for you to be glorified more than we are, dear God. We just forgive us, dear God, for erecting idols in our life, oh God, that have taken your place, oh God. Forgive us, dear God, for not spending the time with you that we should be, oh God. Dear God, please hear our prayers, dear God. And dear God, we pray, dear God, that as we come back next week, God, that you would be the priority, dear God, and that you would continue to be the priority over and over, dear God. And we thank you, dear God, that when we make you the priority, you're going to do great and miraculous things, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Reach your neighbor, slap him on the face, cheek or whatever. I'm just playing.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.